Japanese automobile manufacturer Suzuki just announced they are targeting Africa as their next major growth market. They're calling it the next India. They entered India in 1983. At the time, the consensus said India was too poor, too complex, too far from the kind of premium market that serious companies were supposed to chase. The case for saying no was overwhelming. Suzuki said yes anyway. 40 years later, India is their most important market. It is their production hub. It is where 60% of their planned capital investment is going. And now they're doing it again, this time in Africa. You might be thinking, "Interesting story, but I run a business in Japan. What does Suzuki's Africa strategy have to do with me?" Everything. Because the lesson here is not about Africa. The lesson is about how to think about markets, time horizons, and organizational commitment long term, and how many executives running businesses in Japan are operating with a fundamentally different and shorter set of assumptions. That gap can be costly. Here is the core problem. Most executives running businesses are operating inside an 18-month performance window. I understand why. Headquarters demands results. The Japan profit and loss statement is real. The board review is quarterly. But here is what that structure does to your thinking. It optimizes you for the current market at the expense of the next one. It rewards you for defending existing market share and penalizes you for making bets that will not pay off within the reporting cycle. It makes you, systematically, structurally, a reactive player in a market where your best competitors are building 10- and 20-year positions. Suzuki is not waiting for Africa to validate itself. They are building distribution infrastructure, brand recognition, and manufacturing capacity right now, while the market is still inconvenient and the returns are still distant. By the time Africa is obviously the right bet, Suzuki will own it. Ask yourself honestly, what is your organization building right now that will pay off in 10 years? Now look at the detail in Suzuki's Africa strategy that most observers have missed. They are not building Africa from scratch. They are routing it through India, an engine they already built over 4 decades. Africa is not a new bet. It is leverage off an existing position. For many executives, supply chain is a cost management problem. You optimize it for efficiency, benchmark it against global standards, and measure it by how much it saves per unit. That is a legitimate objective. It is also a limited one. Suzuki's supply chain is a competitive weapon. The infrastructure they built for India is now the infrastructure they are using for Africa. The investment compounds. What infrastructure are you building in your Japan operations that could give you that kind of leverage? What capability, distribution network, supplier relationship, or organizational knowledge are you developing today that could power an adjacent market move in 5 years? If you cannot answer that question, you are managing a cost center, not building a strategic asset. I have written before about the Galapagos trap, the tendency of Japanese companies to become so optimized for the domestic market that they lose the ability to compete globally. But the Galapagos trap has a mirror image, and I see it in foreign executives running businesses in Japan all the time. You came to Japan. You learned Japan. You built your career on your ability to navigate Japan, the language, the culture, the relationships, the regulatory environment. Japan is your expertise, your identity, your competitive advantage, and that is exactly what traps you. The foreign executives who build the most durable careers in Japan are not the ones who become the most expert at Japan as it currently exists. They are the ones who use Japan as a platform, a base from which to think, build, and position for what comes next. Suzuki did not become great by becoming great at Japan. They became great by using Japan as the foundation for India, and now by using India as the foundation for Africa. Each market built the capability that made the next market possible. What is Japan building in your business? The executives who approved Suzuki's India entry in 1983 made a decision that looked wrong by every conventional metric available at the time. They were right, not because they got lucky, but because they were reading signals the consensus was not equipped to see. The signals around the next major shift in your industry are already visible right now. Consumer behavior is changing. Demographics are reshaping the workforce. AI is restructuring the cost and capability basis of every industry. The foreign executive environment in Japan is evolving under political pressure. Most organizations will wait for those signals to become undeniable before they act. By then, the first movers will have already built the positions that are difficult to displace. Suzuki noticed Africa before Africa was obvious. That is not a corporate story. That is a leadership story and a lesson in strategy. So here is what I want you to do. Don't use your Japan profit and loss statement as the boundary of your strategic thinking. It is not. It is the foundation. Look at the capabilities your Japan operation has built. Distribution relationships, organizational knowledge, customer insight, regulatory expertise, and ask which of those could be leveraged into an adjacent market or an adjacent opportunity that your headquarters has not yet validated. Then make the case for it. Not because the returns are certain, they are not. But because the executives who wait for certainty are always late, always competing on price, and always wondering why the incumbents are so difficult to dislodge. Suzuki will own Africa because they moved when it was inconvenient. Your competitors are thinking the same way about the next opportunity in your industry. The question is whether you are too. Use uncertainty as your strategic weapon, and you too can dominate markets before others arrive.